2019.
Policies were debated and discussed, and that was able to shift the focus of the debate. I also have a policy which I do get a huge amount of personal, frankly it's abuse, in a lot of the newspapers. I don't reply, don't respond, don't engage. And many of my supporters say, you're wrong, you should challenge these people all the time. I say, no, I'm not going to get in the gutter with anybody, so I'm just carrying on. Mm-hmm. And eventually it gets through. Mm-hmm. In fact, it sort of has a kind of perverse advantage. Somebody, a woman came to a rally in the Northeast, and I was talking to her, and she wouldn't. Clearly wasn't really a very strong Labour supporter, if Labour supporter at all. So I said, it's nice to see you, but why are you here? And she said, well, I read in the papers that you're completely evil. And I don't think you are. I said, well, that's really nice of you. Thank you very much. It's nice to see you too. And so, after
quite an interesting reason to go to a rally, isn't it?
Well,
to
that's right.
See if I as bad as they say.
See if her horns on or something, you know. So it was. Some of the media stuff was so ridiculous that it's just laughable. And I don't know how much effect it has, but I absolutely refuse to engage in this. But there is a very nasty side to politics, and that is the level of abuse that's heaped on individuals, individual MPs of all parties, and which is then played out in some elements of the print media and others as well. And we had a debate in Parliament the other day on this, and Diane Abbott spoke about her experience, and she quoted some of the stuff that she's had sent to her. And I've known Diane since the 70s, and even I was shocked at some of the stuff she read out. Mm. And I've known her a very long time, and she's
and you've
off.
Had these conversations many times.
Many, yes. Many times. And you just think what that does to somebody. Mm. And I remember her saying recently, when I thought I was strong and confident in the 70s, if I'd known what was coming, I'm not sure I'd have done it. Because she said, can I say to any other young black woman, you should go through this kind of abuse for the rest of your life? Or the anti-Semitic stuff that's thrown at some Jewish comrades, or the Islamophobic that's thrown at any Muslim candidate that puts the name up. So we've got to deal with it.
And some of that responsibility you think lies with the media?
Some. Not all. Some of it. Because there are obviously codes of conduct. There are also ways of reporting things. Do you report something by repeating the abuse, mm-hmm. or do you report it by saying how bad it is? Mm-hmm. There's a big difference there.
But so, there are people, for example, who call for the sacking of this BBC journalist or that BBC journalist. You would encourage them to desist with that?
I don't do that, no. Right. No, I don't do that because...
And you're uncomfortable seeing other people doing that?
Yes. I have had disagreements. We have made complaints about the way I've been reported on policy issues, and in one case that was upheld by the BBC Trust. Mm-hmm. One complaint about the way I'd been reported. And so, but I I think it's important to defend journalists' ability to report, and also to ensure that newspapers do actually give a degree of balance during the general election. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, if a paper comes out and says everyone should vote Labour, of course I welcome that. So the Mirror came out supporting Labour, and I was grateful for that. But its reporting was not completely unbalanced in the direction of Labour. It did include times criticisms of me, which they felt were legitimate, otherwise they wouldn't have made them, which is fine. I can absolutely cope with that. But other papers, such as what The Sun did on polling day, was just outrageous. It was 10 pages. Totally, because it clearly, I also saw an opinion poll, I don't know how accurate it is, that 30% of Sun readers voted Labour. Mm.
I think that's always been the case, I'm sure.
It probably always has been, actually. So I think we should be careful of attacking journalists. And I am a member of the NUJ, and I support journalists being able to be employed to work independently and report what they see, because at its best, journalism uncovers some of the worst excesses of the state and of private enterprise and so on, at its very best. And indeed, I've been very supportive of the International Federation of Journalists and they're standing up for journalists. I mean, one of my great friends is Anabel Hernandez in Mexico, who's lost many friends who've been killed because they uncovered stuff to do with drugs in Mexico. And I was talking to her a couple of weeks ago, and indeed she spoke at the City University.
You talk in the manifesto about an inquiry really looking at ownership of the media. Where do you think that sort of inquiry might lead?
Well, Tom Watson and I are going to do a session in Edinburgh, the festival, on this, a kind of seminar group, well, not seminar, fringe at the television festival. And we're looking at that, and the manifesto, which I've got in front of me here, does talk about this. And the National Review, local media into the ownership, they will hold a national review, local media, and into the ownership of national media to ensure plurality. I think there has to be a diversity of ownership and a diversity of voices within the media. And what I find a problem is that local papers are increasingly owned by regional or national groupings. Numbers of local newspaper reporters are dropping all the time. They're very badly paid, and the local news content disappears. Now, I'm an inveterate buyer and reader of local newspapers. Wherever I go, I buy the local papers. Some of them are absolutely fantastic in their sort of detailed reporting of highly local issues. Some of them are just essentially a reproduction of any old press release that was sent in that week, so there's nobody else to do it. So that there has to be an encouragement of that. There is a move online, and I think the economics of online newspapers has not yet been resolved, and most local papers have as many readers online as they do in the printed version. I suspect they are not making much money out of the online versions.
And my last question, because we need to go downstairs. The Investigatory Powers Act, a lot of NEJ members were disappointed with the approach that Labour took on this when it came to voting for it. I mean, obviously, we have concerns about the security of journalistic material and the absence of safeguards for that, and the possibility that journalistic material can be looked at without any opportunity for public judicial oversight or even knowledge on the part of the person whose material is being surveilled. Is there anything we can now do about that?
Yes, there was a debate about whether or not the Investigatory Powers was over invasive, or my view was that any state surveillance should be judicially based and it would have to go through a judicial process. What I want to do is use the time we have available now, it might be quite short, it might only be a month or two, might be a bit longer, to have a serious discussion with yourselves at National Union of Journalists on how we would approach the protection of journalists and their sources in the future.
Fantastic.
And I'm happy to have that discussion.
Good. All right. Well, we will look forward to doing that. Okay. Let's go down and see.
Thank you very much. Thank you.